You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, Kansas' most trusted energy retailer, and for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Sam McClure and James Bartel with you for the next hour. The family on Sports Day is back together as well. Lawrence producing, Zoe's back behind the panel. Not that we don't love Matt, but it's, you know, when you get your starting team on the park, Jimmy. And that's what makes her part of the starting team.
Oh, wow.
Without even asking for it. It's good. We've got Henry Moran, BBC cricket reporter, journalist, broadcaster. He's going to join us a little later in the hour. Plenty going on with the Ashes. They've obviously announced their squad in the last few days. A couple of important people missing for the English team. I noticed that there's already been a couple of Australians in the media claim that we're going to win 4-0, Alan Border being one of them. In fact, Border might have said 3-1, Brennan Julian 4-0. I'm not sure I'd be making these bold statements when we've played four. You think 3-1?
3-1.
We've played four tests and they've played 14.
Have you seen their batting lineup?
Apart from Joe Root. It's very, very shallow.
Joe Root can't bat all six.
They've still got a good couple of fast bowlers, though, that can tear through us.
52 years of age.
Yeah, they're older than you.
Yeah, well, that's not hard when I'm your age.
You are significantly older than me.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
Yeah, don't look a day over 41.
I'm going to let that slide because I'm in a good mood. Ash Brown's always in a good mood. The chief of the AFL record, who, as Jared put it last week, Jimmy, now this time of the year, becomes a social and political commentator as well. Welcome to you, Ash.
Hello, boys. Good to be with you both. Yes, now I've got this time on my hands, I can take care of and pay attention to everything else other than football.
Well, we'll start with footy if we can. The wash-up from the trade period. Ash, I'm not trying to talk things down because we in the media do our best not to do that. But when Adam Chera and Jordan Dawson are the two biggest trades going through over a three-week period, people like to say it's two. It's not. They turn it into three. It makes you rethink the whole trade period, doesn't it?
It does. Look, I'm on an island with this one. I think we've got trade period all wrong. And I know that the company for which I work is a major commercial partner of the AFL when it comes to trade period, but it's all wrong. I mean, it shouldn't be built around as a content driving exercise. It should be more fluid. It should take place for much longer. We shouldn't make a big deal about every single trade that goes through. It should just be part of the course of footy clubs doing what they do over a 6, 7, 8 month period. So that, to me, I think I said this on this spot last year as well. When you cram it into 8 days or 10 days, whatever it is, and build an online radio station around it, it just takes on a life of its own. And when it doesn't disappoint, when it doesn't deliver what it has in other years, and we came off a very good run last year, obviously, people are disappointed. And then we build up the wrong stories. It's just been a bit shambolic this year, I think.
So let's unpack that a little bit, Ash. So you think we should basically from round one till the end of finals, it should be a fluid trade period?
No, I think from October 10 or October 15 to June 30, it should be a fluid trade period. There should be an exchange of players in all that time, like it is in the American sporting leagues.
So a player in round five could play for one club and round six play for another?
Yeah, as it did when I was growing up, and it was all fine.
Yeah.
No, Green story.
I accept that. Yeah, it's a really interesting proposition. I like your idea better than what we currently have. I'm probably somewhere in the middle, Jimmy. I don't know where you are here. We haven't discussed it off air, but I reckon we could do what we're doing and shorten it and have a 5-day trade period. And I don't think you need to have 12 hours of radio a day and every single outlet pretending that pick 55 is the most important thing of all time.
Yeah, or you could meet somewhere in the middle and allow players and managers to have those discussions, and then they can all be executed over in that window that we're talking about. So at the moment, it's frowned upon and you're not allowed to sort of really talk to currently contracted players. But if you actually had an open understanding, well, if players do have in the back of their mind that they want to go back home to a different state, whatever reasons that managers concoct at this time of year, well, it can just be had. And then we don't have to try and make things up at the end of the year, or it's not being done under a 12-hour window, but you have a week period where all of it can get officially filed. And as Ash said, he can highlight, for example, Sam McClure has agreed to go to Carlton. And it's done.
I feel like. It's interesting, Ash. I think somewhere in the midst of this discussion is is the right answer. I look at the Premier League, Jimmy, and they have the January transfer window, which obviously goes for the length of January. And the way they do it, I quite like, which is if you read the Telegraph, Ash, online as I do, or you read BBC or you listen to a bit of Talk Sport, they will talk about moves if they're happening or if there have been updates. But if they're not, they just talk about something else. Whereas I think we've almost got to a point where we force this content. And if, you know, pick a name out of a hat, if Cal Toomey reports that Gold Coast are considering trading pick 32, all of a sudden that becomes a topic for the 16 different platforms that we were looking at.
It would almost become scandalous that your journalist gets the scoop. Sorry to borrow your nickname there. But you have to... It becomes the story that the fact that the journalist gets
has reported it. Yeah, I know. It's actually quite frightening. And it's only getting worse, Ash.
Yeah, and it's absolutely getting worse. And it's the AFL's desire. And I understand why the AFL does it, because it gives them a three-week window to prolong the discussion about football straight off the grand final. And trade radio starts 36 hours after the grand final. Yeah. So it's creating content. And this year when there's no, because of COVID, all the off-season sports, the summer sports haven't got a start yet, really. There's no A-League, there's no NBL, there's no there's a bit of women's cricket. The Spring Carnival's not quite big because punters can't go, so all the noise around the Spring Carnival isn't what it usually is. They've had it to themselves. I mean, so that's probably made it worse. You had no sporting competition and not a lot of big names. It just made it even worse than it usually is. So I sound like the grumpy old man here, and I'm sorry to the listeners if that's how I'm coming across, but I think it needs fixing. And having said that, I have no great confidence that it will be anytime soon.
One last one on that, Ash, before we actually go to the actual trade period. A lot of people who counter probably what it's been discussed by yourself is you watch the NRL grand final and a player receives the ball and Rabs goes, and he's off to Canterbury next year. He's heading over to the UK or he's playing for the Broncos or the Storm. And we had probably out of the grand final sides, at least half a dozen players from each side already committed elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm not advocating that, Jimmy. I don't think that should happen. I just think the trades take place. You shut trades down on June 30th and you pick it up again October 10th, a week after grand final, as we do now, you pick it up again. But the window goes much longer. If the window is 8-9 months, it won't have this constant... The talk will be about the trades that get executed. There won't be all this speculation and what have you that just drives, and fake trades and all this stuff that drives that just incessant. But I think I think it's unbecoming.
Well, no, I mean it is unbecoming, and we've reached a point of saturation in our industry now, where we've got to decide to go one of two ways. It's either we wait, and we actually report with veracity, and know that we're right. Or we just go down the path that we're going down, which is it doesn't really matter if it's half right or half wrong. The more we report, the more clicks we get, the more advertising dollars we get, and just keep going down that road. Now, if we want to be taken seriously as an industry, which I think we all do, by our fans and our listeners who really make up the backbone of the industry, then we have to decide to hold a little bit. Now, it makes it very hard to report stories when you're expected to come up with something 14 hours a day, Ash.
That's right. And I think trade radio, again, it's a great, it was a wonderful idea at the Tyson Hutchie.
And it's still a great idea.
And it's still a great concept. When it works, and when you have days like last year, it was riveting. It really was. But I'm not sure the depth of commentary was quite there this year as well. I think there were a couple of things that, at times, they were just clutching at straws, and there was misinformation out there at times, and just stuff they just got wrong. So that's all I'm saying, because it wasn't the quality of play and the volume of trades taking place. That's what I'm trying to say.
My favourite part of trade period, undoubtedly, was Hound Wars between Tom Brown and Mitch Cleary. Every day, watching on Twitter, and then deciding to turn on Channel 7 when Jared and I were in studio here, and watching who got on first. Oh, Ash, it's popcorn ready sort of stuff.
Who was in the top box and who was in the bottom box?
Oh,
sort of
wow.
Stuff as well. So, Mitch is a very good operator, and Tom is now he's got his beloved chief football reporting job for Channel 7. So, it'll be great for the network to have two people, the two sort of alpha males pushing each other. I think it's good for Seven, and leaves their competitors in the commercial TV space in their way.
What have you made of Handball so far, Jimmy?
I haven't probably paid as close attention to it
as me.
Yes. But I do like the lighter side of it. Jungle Drums versus Tom Brown.
Jungle Drums.
Yeah, Mitch Cleary, the Jungle Drums. That was his trade radio, his initial trade radio little segment, hearing the Jungle Drums.
Was it? I can't remember that.
Get to know the alpha dogs of the footballing world, will you? There'll be posters of them soon.
Well, you mentioned posters. Ash, I did see a little promo come out over the weekend on Seven. Have you seen this promo?
With Mitch?
With Mitch and Tom and Tim Watson?
Yes, I did see that one.
It's funny to me because I don't think Mitch is comfortable with all that promo sort of stuff. And yet there he was.
Well, it's a different beast commercial TV. You've done a bit, you know, you dabble in that space, and so do you, Jimmy. I don't, but there are certain things you have to do, don't you? When you sign the contract at a place like Seven, and that one of them is doing the cheesy promos.
Are you contracted at Seven next year?
Are you talking to me?
I'm looking at you.
I've never been contracted by Seven.
Oh, hang on.
I've been on that.
Blow me over with a feather.
No, I've been the old last one, the pay per view sort of thing.
Oh, your pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Press red for Jimmy.
Yeah, that sort of scenario.
Would you like to do more TV stuff?
I enjoy going to the footy, don't you?
Oh, I enjoy listening to you when you're on the boundary.
I appreciate the feedback.
More Sports Day with Ash coming up after this. Ash, I want to ask you about Earl Eddings at Cricket Australia. I also want to ask you about John Gruden stepping down as the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders after what was a pretty controversial a few days in the US and for the Raiders. More with Ash Brown after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and for Wilson Homes. Ash Brown is the chief of the AFL Record, now turned social and political commentator. And he joins Jimmy and I for his second segment of the hour. Ash, let's talk about what's going on in the US. A fascinating story involving Jordan Gruden stepping down as the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. It was after the New York Times ran an article which detailed emails about some of the language that he had used over a 7-year period. Some of it was racist, some of it was misogynistic, other language was homophobic. And he's been given the arse for it, essentially.
It's one of the most extraordinary, I know I'm a big NFL fan, it's one of the most extraordinary couple of hours that I can remember as a fan of that sport.
Yeah.
Sam, I mean, the story dropped the New York Times, I reckon probably American time, about 7:30 at night, and by 9 o'clock, halftime Monday Night Football, of which Gruden spent a long time as the color commentator, he was fired, or he resigned before being fired by the Raiders. So quite an extraordinary story for it to have dropped. It's the commentary subsequent's been really interesting as well, because he's sort of he's almost in a way a bystander. The main investigation was into the Washington football team that used to be known as the Redskins, and there's been a long investigation by the NFL into that. These emails turned up as part of that investigation. They were leaked firstly to the Wall Street Journal before the weekend. There were some remarks that Gruden had made about DeMaurice Smith, who's the head of the players' union.
Yeah,
and then the full release of the emails on the Monday night in the New York Times. Quite an extraordinary story that it dropped the way it did. And John Gruden is a football, what they call over there, a football lifer. You know, he's been a coach and a commentator, won a Super Bowl, just a long-standing NFL personality, very high-profile one at that. And for him to sort of be dismissed in that fashion is quite remarkable. It's a very sorry end to what was what had been a great career. But I mean, it was the actions, his emails were defensible and the Raiders had no choice but to move him on.
You're right, Ash. Severe brand damage for John Gruden, but probably not severe financial damage. When he signed for the Raiders, 10 years, $100 million contract, you'd imagine a significant amount of that would be paid out.
Yeah, well, the lawyers would be involved now, won't they, Jimmy, to sort out what he gets.
I wonder how much would be paid out, Ash and Jimmy. I mean, he would have broken part of his contract, I assume.
$100 million, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
he'll get a bit of it, but yeah. He won't. Certainly, that he was dismissed with cause. I mean, that was as couched as a resignation, but that probably salvaged a bit of the remainder of the contract by resigning as opposed to being sacked. But huge damage to his brand, and he'll never coach again. And he may. It's interesting. I mean, do they forgive over there like we've forgiven over here? I mean, for a long time, Wayne Carey's name was toxic, but you know, he's re-established himself as a fairly prolific media performer after a few years. Will time forgive Gruden and he go back to the media? He was actually very good as the main colour guy on Monday Night Football. So that may be an option from down the track, but certainly he'll be laying low for a long time. All sorts of discussions with the NFL about, is this the sorts of things he was saying in these emails, is that still the true nature of the sport? The NFL is trying really hard to become progressive, and they've got an ad campaign they're running this year about to try and demonstrate what a progressive league it's become. But they're facing a battle to win people's minds over minds and hearts over when this sort of stuff gets released.
You mentioned Gruden was a lifer, and another lifer of not only NFL but in particular college football, Urban Meyer, who came up to coach NFL, dipped his toe back in. That looks like it's going to go pear-shaped, and both of these gentlemen are going to get a lesson in the modern world with technology. Obviously Gruden with his emails and Urban Meyer being filmed, being a little bit naughty the night before a game.
Yeah, well, night after game. He didn't fly home with his team that had 0-4 at the time, Jim. I don't know if an AFL coach has ever not flown home with the team, but he's in trouble for that. He's just a bad appointment. He's just a college coach who, it's a very different game in a lot of ways, college football to the NFL. And I think he was ill-suited to be an NFL coach. And this is an example of it. But yeah, it's only a matter of time before he finishes up with the Jaguars as well. So two really big names in that sport of sort of their reputations are in tatters at the moment.
Ash, speaking of tatters, Cricket Australia have now had, or they're about to have their third chair in, 3 years? David Peaver left in 2018. Earl Eddings has resigned just a day before he was going to stand for re-election. It's a bit messy.
Very messy. And, I mean, I'm not across cricket like I am in the footy world, but clearly there's major power struggles to take place at board level at Cricket Australia. And you've got the states, I think he was in trouble. He was called by the WA delegate and said, you don't have our support anymore. And that was it for him. Whereas, the AFL has thrived for 30 years now, really, with independent commission. And the NRL eventually saw the writing on the wall and ditched the clubs for its own independent commission. And there's been a lot of gnashing of teeth in cricket circles as to why they haven't gone down the same path. And the state still holds so much power. I mean, we joke about the New South Wales, even though Cricket Australia is based in Melbourne, has been for a long time. I mean, we joke about the power that New South Wales holds in Australian cricket, and I think he didn't have the support, Earl Eddings, of New South Wales, and that's a fairly fundamental part. I think you've got to keep the people up in Sydney pretty happy if you want to retain a position of authority in Australian cricket.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point. It would be a bigger story, I reckon, if there was more confidence surrounding England's chances of winning the Ashes, but apparently everyone, including my co-host, thinks that we're going to do it easily when the Poms come across.
Well, don't they call the Poms always like to say the Australian team's the worst team to ever arrive on their shores. And I think a few commentators are already saying this will be the weakest English team to arrive on our shores at the moment. Not a lot of batting and elderly bowlers. So we'll see. It's still an Ashes series. And one thing that Australia hasn't had is a lot of red ball cricket, have they? So whereas England's played a lot more test matches than Australia recently. So I think that might count for something when they do get here.
Ash, great to have you on as always. What's keeping your focus now that footy season and trade period is over?
We've got a few. Well, we're going to start the AFL record season guide. That starts work. We start work on that next week, and that's a big project.
The Bible.
And a couple of other things. Yeah, the Bible. We start work on that and a couple of projects on the side, Sam. So I'm trying to keep myself busy as best I can.
Thanks, Ash. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Ash Brown there, chief of the AFL record, social and political commentator now, and working on the Bible, the AFL record. Jeez, it was the best thing to carry around in the backpack.
It was
when you go to a game. It was heavy, but it was worth it.
Yeah, it was good. Oh, I need to check something. There you go.
That's right. And as the year went on, you got better at finding little tabs. More sports day coming up. We just finished with Ash around cricket. We're going to head to the UK next. Henry Moran from the BBC is going to join us. Just how poor is this England team? What chance are they of knocking us off? More after this.